141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge night of Premiership action. Dundee United are all but down, leaving Ross County and Kilmarnock to fight it out to avoid the playoffs. Celtic drop points for the third game in a row, while it was all about goodbyes for Rangers, and Aberdeen secure third with a game to spare. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it was a night full of drama, plenty of goals in action all throughout the country, and a night that looks like it sent Dundee United down at the bottom. But in brighter news, Aberdeen, Barry Robson, a great run he's had since he came in, secures European football. And some things still go down to the last day. Hearts Hibs, what a game we've got coming up. Hibs with an impressive win against Celtic last night put themselves right in the running to finish in fourth place.
Yeah, I thought it was a great night of football, great entertainment, a lot happening all around the ground, sending offs, goals, drama. Dundee United all but relegated, you would say that, 8 goals of difference. Well done to Aberdeen, Barry Robson, what a job he's done since he's gone in there. And obviously a very important result for Hibs against Celtic.
01419511025, that is the number you need. So what are you thinking tonight then, if we work our way down the table, if you like? Celtic fans, we know the title is in the bag, we know these games are not as meaningful as they could be, but still, it is not often you drop points 3 games in a row. So what did you make of last night? Are there fringe players that are starting to worry you a little bit? You look at, there was a change in goal obviously, and I don't think Scott Bain would be delighted at some of the goals that were conceded there. Some other players trying to play their way into plans or prove that they're suitable backup to those who dropped out. And lots of talking points. There was red cards and red cards overturned and penalties and all that stuff. So what did you make of it last night at Easter Road, Celtic fans? Let us know. Rangers fans, how do you feel then? The goodbyes, it is official. You've seen the last at Ibrox of Morelos and Kent, and particularly McGregor and Arfield, given the sentimentality attached there. So what are you thinking looking back on that one? Kieran Dowell, we didn't really manage to get into that last night because of the games, but he was confirmed to be a Rangers player in the future. So again, what are you thinking there? Aberdeen fans, if there are any, you've secured third. We're looking forward to an Edinburgh derby. St Mirren not to be for you in terms of those European places. And then at the bottom, are there any Dundee United fans out there? And more importantly, are you willing to share your frustrations? There's nothing worse as well from an outsider's point of view when you say, ah, they're not technically relegated. But obviously it would take a massive, massive turnaround at the weekend for that to not be the case. So whatever it is that you've got for us tonight, every team involved last night, 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in right now, please. And to whet your appetite, result of the evening, Mark?
Well, I hate to say it, but I'll go against my old side. I think Kilmarnock, you know, for what was at stake and their away record this season, they must have dreaded a trip to Dundee United. We're both fighting for their lives, but to go one up and then to get another one just before half time puts them on easy street, and then to compound it with a third goal, I thought that was a terrific result that sees Derek McInnes' side safe from automatic relegation.
Yeah, I can't pick that one, so I'm going to go down the M8 to Edinburgh, to the capital, and I'm going to go for Hibs. Coming from a goal behind, I know you can argue they were helped with the 10 men, but to keep themselves in that place to leapfrog Hearts at the weekend in the Edinburgh derby, I thought that was a terrific result. Not beat Celtic in a long time, so good result for him.
What about your goal of the evening? I thought the standard was quite high last night, I must say.
Was, and plenty of them to pick from. I'm going to go to Dingwall because it was such an important goal. Jack Baldwin.
Oh, that was a good hit, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was a great hit from a centre half in the 90th minute. You know, his first touch looked like it took it so wide, but he played a 1-2 and it was so wide, but you know, he lets fly, and that could have saved him. It's put him right in the hunt for the game against Kilmarnock. I know they then concede the equaliser, but without that, would have been a whole load of trouble. What a strike it was.
Yeah, who knew Ross County St Johnson would be a 6 goal thriller.
What a game.
I just did not expect it, I have to admit. What was your goal of the night, Gordon?
I'm going up to the Granite City, Leighton Clarkson. Free kick to open the scoring for Aberdeen.
That was good. Nice.
Sensational.
Yeah, I like
sensational.
That.
I like some.
He's been good though, hasn't he?
Yes, he certainly has. He's been terrific. And I've got to say, his free kick last night was exceptional. Really put the foot down for Aberdeen to go and cement that third place.
Not arguing with that at all. Right, this is where it gets a bit more fun. Howler of the evening.
Well, I'll go first, back to the capital. Scott Baim.
Ooh.
You know, just after signing.
Which one?
New contract. Well, we know what one. Signing a new contract, given an opportunity last night. He certainly wouldn't have liked to watch the two goals back, especially the first one. Goalkeeping Howler.
Yeah.
Hard to argue, Mark, but you need to pick someone else who was guilty of howling.
That was really a standout. Listen, you had a few of the red card, Jamal George, but I'm going to go collective. Again, Moldside, Dundee United. When you're fighting for your life, and I said it earlier, when you've got Kilmarnock coming, who are poor in the road, you need to show better than what you did last night. Some of the defensive mistakes within that first half were incredible to watch, and it's confirmed where they'll play next season. So Howard goes to the full United team.
Again, hard to argue. Right, you've given us both. What about top man? Who was your main man, top performer last night?
Only one for me. The only man with 10 in a row beside his name, Kevin Van Veen.
Oh, that's a wise choice from you.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Only took him 3 minutes.
He equals the record set by
Mark Viduka. Alright, the Motherwell record, certainly. Yeah,
Hugh
going
McMillan.
Back a bit.
Yeah,
looking could for, be and he could make it 11 at the weekend.
Yeah, but some run of goals. And I thought his goal last night was brilliant as well. Got to say, great finish. So the man of the moment, Kevin Van Veen.
Yes, Hughie Ferguson, by the way, was the name you were looking for.
Oh, what did I say?
I think McMillan.
Hugh McHugh.
Oh, so near.
Chug McChugster. Oh, I don't know why you said Hugh Evans.
Yeah.
It was Hugh Evans back in 1919. What are you going for?
Listen,
main
I think
man?
An honourable mention. Tannadice again should go to Kyle Vassell because he scored two and he had an outrageous volley that was almost goal of season.
No, you don't get main man for nearly scoring from the halfway line.
He scored
sorry.
Two. He scored two okay. In a vital game. However, I'm going to go up to Aberdeen. I think Barry Robson deserves a mention for the job he's done at Aberdeen. Took over his first 8 games. He won 7 of them. Had a wee rocky patch where it looked like they had a wee wobble, but got the result that mattered last night. And European football in third place for Aberdeen this next season.
01419511025. Come on then, what are you thinking after last night? There is so much to get through. You can take your pick. Let's start with Ross, who is from Pollock. Ross, how are you tonight? You alright?
Hi Gordon, Mark. Gordon, very well.
All good here. What are you thinking then with your Celtic hat on?
I'm actually in a position where I'm frustrated. And the reason I'm frustrated is because since the split started, we've lost 9 goals. We've lost the last. We've dropped points in the last 3 games, and that's what the last 6 games we've played, and we've not been at the standard that we need to be at. Now I know obviously the league's done and dusted, and people can say that it doesn't really matter if we drop points; it doesn't affect the league table. But points are now backed into 7 points, so effectively we've basically made it look better than what it is, and that's our fault. And at the end of the day, it's just, it's frustrating now because we're going into this cup final on the back of that we're going to win this cup final, and that isn't a given. And the way we're playing now, I'm a bit worried.
Suppose there's two ways of looking at it. Ross, you know, mentions the arithmetic, the points. Does that matter, or is it the second bit? Is it the, you know, the standards generally? But I'm not sure that, I don't think Ange Postecoglou will care about the points, will he?
I'm not too sure about that. I think there is a valid argument in that. A couple of weeks ago, we were standing here chatting before the Rangers game at Ibrox that the points cap could have went to 16 points. And the Celtic fans use that as a stick to beat Michael Beale way in. Oh, look at this. And Rangers thought they were progressing, but how could he? All of a sudden, when Celtic take their foot off the gas, it doesn't look that there's that much between the teams. But look, Celtic had a job to do. They had to defend their title, which they done. The most important post-split game was the one at Tynecastle, and they rolled up their sleeves. They weren't perfect that afternoon, but they rolled up their sleeves and got the job done and won the league title. Now after that, of course, we can all see it. It's there in front of us that the team's been rotated, the performance levels have dropped dramatically, and results haven't been good enough. But when they expect it to last, if there was the cup final tomorrow, and Ange Postecoglou put out his strongest 11, I would expect the standards to go back up again. So I don't think it's anything to worry about long term. I get why fans like Ross are frustrated. Fans who pay their money to go and watch the team win.
The question is, Gordon, it sort of boils down to, how much does this matter? Does the points gap matter? Do the performance levels matter? How much do they count?
I think the performance levels matter, because the manager has this saying, never stops. But they seem like they've halted just now with the recent. And the manager's come out and put his hand up, says, look, I've upset everything by the amount of changes. The biggest thing I'd worry about if I was involved with Celtic is the fringe players just now. They're getting an opportunity. They've had Postecoglou's had the luxury of winning the league and tying the league up so quickly. He's given these guys an opportunity. He's given them game time, good games, and they don't seem to be coming up to the standards. So if I was one of those squad players that was given that jersey and given the opportunity, I'd be starting to worry, because you know this manager will not put up with slackness. And just now Celtic look like a team that's a bit slack for me.
Talk to us about some of the key individuals, good or bad, last night, Ross.
I've been on before. I'm not a fan of Kobayashi, and to be honest, I don't rate him. Burnaby is another one that I would be quite happy to see leave in the summer. Ralston, I like Ralston, and I think he does a job, but last night, for the penalty, I don't know what he's doing. And then Scott Bain, for me, is just nowhere near Celtic standard, and I don't know what the issue is with Sigrist. I don't know if he's injured or not, I'm not sure, but Bain for me last night has had an absolute nightmare. And right now, the squad depth we've got numbers, but performance wise we've not got the players behind the starting 11 to back up the levels that we should be at. So I'm a bit worried about the players that we're bringing in, because we're nowhere near that level now.
Mark, this has been, again, it's an ongoing theme. It's coincided with the dropping of points in previous games. Kobayashi, Burnaby, these are guys that have all been mentioned. To be fair, did his part in a sense last night, scored a goal. It's the first time we've seen any sort of change in goal, really, from Ange Postecoglou on the back of that new contract for Scott Bain.
It's a problem, I think. I think it's just a mistake too far for Scott Bain.
He just signed a new 3-year deal.
I know, but I mean, in terms of public opinion, I think some Celtic fans had already made up their mind about Scott Bain anyway. And, you know, it doesn't help his case or help his standing within the support when he comes in to what is a meaningless game for Celtic, let's be honest, but still makes an absolute howler. So it shows you the gap. That's the point I've made several times, that the gap between the players, the squad depth is there, but no doubt you've got quality in the bench, but the gap between some of them is huge. The gap between Bain and Joe Hart, who we were criticising last week, I think is massive. I don't know where Sigrist is, I'm the same as Ross, but Burnaby to Taylor, huge. Ralston to Johnson, I like Ralston as well, and he does a good job, but still, massive gap between the two. Kobayashi, Carter Vickers, huge. And you can go on and on and on. By the way, I think played his part last night. Thought he was unlucky in the first half. Showed strength and imagination. Gets his goal as well. It's still a long way to go to bridge a gap to Kyogo, though. But that's what I mean. But I agree with you, I think he should be given time. So it's an interesting one. Does Ange Postecoglou stick with what he's got and try and develop those players who are under contract, or does he twist and move them and get others in?
I mean, goalkeepers will make mistakes like that, Gordon, and if it's the one and only time we've seen him this season, it does feel extreme to say, oh well, you know, that was it, you had your chance and it didn't go well. But at the same time, it's just not ideal, is it? Because these chances come along so infrequently, you don't want them to stand out for the wrong reasons.
Especially off the back of signing that new contract as well, Gordon. A lot of faith shown in you by the club and the manager and everybody involved. I feel sorry for him, because as a defender or a striker, you can miss a chance and somebody will go, oh, he missed a good chance, and nobody bothers. As a goalkeeper, it's highlighted. The one thing I noticed last night about him, you're right, he's out there desperate and maybe trying too hard at times. We've all been in that position. He makes that first mistake and he looked a very nervous goalkeeper after that. And even at the fourth one, handling at the back post, I know it comes off Burnaby, but he's all over the place, I've got to say. He will not want to watch that game back.
Ange Postecoglou is holding his hands up, though. He's taking responsibility for it.
We love to live in the moment, and everyone's sort of making sort of assessments on what's happening right now. That's fine. Look, most of it's on me, to be honest. I mean, I'm the one making, you know, five or six lineup changes every week, and that's hurting the side. There's no doubt about that. But I'm doing it for a reason, and yeah, that's affected our level of performance. Although, like I said, I thought tonight, up until sending off, I thought we were in a good position, and yeah, looking to finish strong. So, but aside from that, you know, that's like I said, that's my responsibility. I'll take that. The decisions I've made in recent weeks, last 3 weeks, haven't been to the benefit of the team. But you know, in terms of any far-reaching assessments or conclusions, as I said earlier in the week, that's for other people to make. I know where we are.
Thank you to Ross. What about Ken? Are you starting to get any concern at all for this cup final, Ken, or is that just taking it too far?
No, I'm not concerned at all for the cup final. I'm still quite confident. I mean, Angie's making the changes, but Angie's just to keep people from safe so they're not getting injured, and they've got the best team possible for the cup final. You know, people like Jota and Kyogo and, well, Joe Hart as well. I mean, I know Scott Bain muffed his lines last night. I still think he'll get a start on Saturday, to be honest with you. Late the last caller, you know, Kobayashi, the jury's still out on him, but we've not really got any other choice than playing him. And I don't want Iwata back in that defence either, but he's already in midfield. You know, but Saturday I still think he'll start with O. He'll probably have a bad on. Not sure who's going to replace Haksabanovic, because Major's going to be banned from after the red card.
So I suppose that's the thing though, Ken, isn't it? Everyone would have faith that the starting 11 and the strongest 11 can do the business in pretty much any game, because they've got a huge body of work behind them. It's not all about three games. Have you questioned the depth at all in the last couple of weeks, or is it all because the league's over, or how do you assess it?
Well, I mean, a lot of these players, they've not been had a lot of game time, you know, right? Ivanovic and even Abada have had a lot of time off the bench. But I do think we need another centre-half, probably another left-back, and another winger, because, I mean, Abada might be away. And just to give more strength and depth. And to be honest, maybe another goalkeeper. I don't know if he'll maybe try to say that Bain will start on Saturday. There is a chance that he may put Sigrist in, but I think he'll stick with Bain. But we do need to strengthen the depth.
I suppose, Mark, when it came to the Rangers game, was one game, and you can understand Ange Postecoglou or anyone else saying, well, you're not going to write off your squad depth because of one game. And then in St Mirren happens, then Hibs happens. So I don't know if three's an acceptable number to sort of look at that picture or not. I don't know if you have to put a hard number on it. But are we further down the line now, I take it, in the assessment of some of the backup options?
Yeah, of course. Because, you know, the more game time they get and the more that they don't produce, then, you know, that moves Ange Postecoglou's thinking further down the line. But the manager's in a bit of a tough position, because if he went full strength Rangers, full strength St Mirren, full strength Hibs last night, people would be on this phone saying, well, you know what, I would like to see Iwata, I would like to see more of Kobayashi. This is the time. Mm-hmm. Why is he not playing him?
But to be fair, though, also in some areas, though, it is a bit forced. Is that the worry? Because Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers are...
Yeah. Yeah,
that's injured. It's not,
that's the
not
one that people are looking then at the gap between who's coming in to what's went out, and it's too great in some positions. But I think the manager's thoughts there after the game, saying it's all on me, you know, I'm the one changing the team. Any good manager does that, tries to take the flak away from his players, and it's commendable. However, the players who come in have to shoulder the responsibility and not living up to the standards. And if Ange Postecoglou was any doubt about what Celtic is and the standards that they hold, it's right now where the league's won and they're going for a treble, yet some people are still saying we need to freshen things up, we need to get better players in.
Cut them a bit of slack. They've played a big part in Celtic's achievements this year, whether it's becoming off the bench or playing the odd game. He's making five or six changes. Mark will know, we've been involved in football, sometimes it's a bit difficult. It's okay if you go into a team, Celtic's starting 11, the strongest, and maybe it's two changes. you're a lot more comfortable in there. There's five or six in there. There's changes every single game now. So I would cut these guys because they've been a big part of it. About the success at Celtic, the chance to win the treble as well. They're having a few bad days, and that's what happens in football.
What do you think, Celtic fans? 01419511025. Do you agree or disagree with what you're hearing? What about Ibrox last night then? It was all about farewells. How did it feel saying goodbye to some big players from over the years, Rangers fans? Let us know. The signing of Kieran Dowell, what did you make of that one? And we'll hear from Michael Beale and you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here. 01419511025 is the number you need. We're about to hear from Michael Beale very, very soon. Looking at back on last night's events at Ibrox, it was all about the big fond farewells for the five out of contract players. How does it feel at looking back on them? Rangers fans, what comes next? Kieran Dowell, the business being done early. What do you make of that signing? I feel like we didn't really get into it too much last night because of the game and all the big games that we had going on. So we'll do that in just a second. Let's get Lee Johnson's thoughts on the game at Easter Road last night before we move on from that.
A fantastic win, you know, a really important 3 points first and foremost. We've talked a lot about getting closer to the Old Firm, and I think everybody deserved that tonight, particularly the fans. We've set ourselves up now for a shootout, if you like, against Hearts at the weekend, which would be great. As far as the game was concerned, I thought it was brilliant. This wasn't a smash and grab. We played a proper game here, gone toe-to-toe against the best side in the country and come out winning, so it's great signs.
Happens all the time. It's nothing sinister, but the reaction's always going to be about where Celtic went wrong, or if it was Rangers, where Rangers go wrong, and then it doesn't leave much room in this city, in this part of the world, for credit to Hibs.
Yeah, I think credit to goes to Hibs for obviously the 4-2, and sometimes it's more difficult to play against 10 men, especially with the quality of Celtic's got. So they made that advantage count. You've got to give them credit for that. It's a very important result. That's one big thing. It keeps that Edinburgh derby real exciting. It keeps it alive. Everything to play for. It'll be a terrific game of football.
Attacking players firing, Mark. Yes, you know, Kevin Nisbet stepped up when he had to in the penalty. Ewan again.
Yeah.
Yeah, Celtic will always assess what they could do differently, but it's a heck of a finish.
Oh, brilliant. I mean, Ewan's finish for the goal he puts in the corner, terrific. Nisbet, you think the big players Hibs have had out this season as well. So I think credit to Lee Johnson, because at one stage when Hibs were playing Aberdeen, that 6-0 game, it was classed as one of them were getting the sack, whoever lost. Lee Johnson was under severe pressure and managed to turn the season round. Now he's only 90 minutes away from finishing fourth place above Hearts.
Johns and Johnston, how's it going tonight?
Hi there. Hi.
What's your point for the guys?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, all good. What you got for us?
No, I've been listening, and the fact that Celtic have dropped points, performance levels, changing the squad, this happens in every league that somebody's already won the league, the trophy, whether it's Eredivisie or the Bundesliga or whatever. So there's absolutely no panic. Yes, he's clearly looking at other players, but the 11 guys that usually play have won the league. That includes the five subs as well. So the 16 players that we've got are on the cusp of a treble. I don't know why people are panicking.
Yeah, and look, that's the thing. As we said this before, John, you know, if or when Celtic win the treble, they will get all the credit in the world. It just feels like, though, would you not admit that there were plenty of times this season when Celtic fans and probably lots of other people were saying that, you know, Celtic's second string would beat most teams in the league? That's what we were told, that's what we were led to believe this season. Are we now finding out that's not the case, or is it all because the league's in the bag?
Well, Celtic have never put out their second string for games in a row. We've always had our top players. So I don't know where that comes from, to be honest. So
what do you mean?
We have.
But I don't understand. What do you mean? Because we're now seeing it. I'm talking about some of the fringe players. You know, there were times when Celtic were bang at it this season, and there were maybe a couple of players rotated. Remember Callum McGregor was injured, and at the start of the season, you know, because, you know, Juranovic left and Johnson came in, and Moyes played, and there was a lot of change in attack. It was something we used to hear all the time, that, you know, Celtic, the strength and depth and the second string could win games. Why? That's what I'm saying. I'm asking you, why is it not happening? Is it just because the league's over?
Well, I would suggest, like I said, that these things do happen when league titles are already put in the bag. Other teams, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, lose games because they do move things about. But I don't actually know where the second string's good enough, because they've never played a full second string. So all we have to worry about as a Celtic fan is we've tied up the title, we've won the cup, and we're on the cusp of a treble.
Well, factually, that's correct, of course. But
also, nobody's argued that at any point, I don't think.
Nobody. Look, 37 games in this season, you take into the cup competitions as well. For the large percent of those games, Celtic have been terrific. But you can't argue with the games since Ibrox that it's fell way below the standards that they set themselves. That both of them can be true. And yes, it can be acceptable at this time of the season. But I'll say this, I don't want to be disrespectful to Inverness, but it's going to sound it well. If it was a team in the Premiership close to the top of the table that Celtic were facing the cup final, I think there would be genuine concern.
But is there not always
Celtic
a feeling
fans?
That they can turn it on because they have so
of course,
often? And they've...
Of course, but I think that when John's coming on there's no concern about the cup final. Of course, because let's be honest, Celtic's second string, these players included, should deal with Inverness, okay? But if it was an Aberdeen or a Hearts or a Burnley, this current run of form with a cup final in a couple of weeks, people would be going, not so sure.
Yeah, you get both sides of that though, Gordon, because these players maybe wouldn't play. But again, all this is going back to a time when Celtic earned this, if you know what I mean. Celtic earned this discussion because they were so good. And I get what John's on about, you know, teams in other countries, and it's very hard to compare. I don't know. I mean, Man City drew last night, and teams will take the foot off the gas. But as I said, Celtic earned, earlier in the season, Celtic earned this tag that almost no matter the circumstances and no matter the changes, they would deal with all in front of them.
Yeah, where the negativity is coming from is probably the standard that Celtic set this season. The way they played, the goals that they've scored. We had their first caller tonight rounding up. Listen, in the last three games we've lost 9 goals, and that never ever happened. And you're right, Gordon, you make a great point about Celtic have earned the right to play the fringe players. They've earned the right to be below par. I take on board what Mark's saying, that if it was a better side, they would maybe be a little bit of concern. But I just think that Celtic's strongest 11 this season has shown over the course and distance that when it comes to the big games, they can go and produce.
It just feels like everything we do in this country, Mark, we try and boil it down to these like black and white arguments of you're either, it has to be no criticism at all, no panic, no worry whatsoever, or you're hysterical. There is a lot in between there. You're allowed to be a little bit annoyed at recent performances while still acknowledging that obviously in a couple of weeks everyone expects them to win the treble, they'll get all the credit in the world. You know, there's a lot in the middle.
Listen, see the Celtic players in that dressing room at Easter Road, and the talk that Ange Postecoglou probably had, you'd be mad to think that none of them were annoyed. Personally, as a player, the players will be annoyed that they were part of that team. They're at Celtic because that's the standard they're at. They have that professional pride. The Celtic manager, we never stop, has set that benchmark for the players that are at home. Of course they're getting annoyed, but you're right, what they've done before should be celebrated, should be lauded, because they've been absolutely terrific. But they've also been off the boil for the last three games, which we have to point out.
But then in time, none of this will matter, will it? You won't remember this if the cup final goes to plan.
Of course we won't. And you know, that's the luxury Ange Postecoglou has afforded himself, getting the job done in the first game of the split. And next season when it kicks off, nobody will say, oh, what about the Hibs game at Easter Road?
No.
Because it doesn't matter, of course. When it does matter though, if something drastic had to go wrong at Hampden, which I fully don't expect to happen, then people can start pointing the finger at the run-up, but I don't expect that to happen.
Thank you very much to John and Johnston. Nice to catch up. 01419511025. Rangers drop points as well late on at Ibrox. Hearts getting the point. Of course, it wasn't enough for them in the battle for third, because Aberdeen kept their side of the bargain and have it wrapped up, but it might just give Hearts a bit more? Well, it does. It gives them more of a cushion, of course, going into the Edinburgh Derby at the weekend. Let's get some thoughts from Michael Beale. It was obviously about the five departures as well, saying their goodbyes after the game.
Crazy first minute of the game. Defended that throw on really, really poorly. That's obvious to see. And then a crazy last minute as well. In between that, I thought Hearts come were really committed. You could see their game plan and they probably got their goal really early, earlier than what they thought. There was a lot of stoppages in the game. It was a feisty game. You could see it meant a lot to them. That sort of fired us up as well and the crowd. And I thought we responded well. We scored a fantastic first goal. We just changed to a back three just before that to just help us in our build-up. And I thought it worked. We come out the second half and we're by far the stronger team. We've thrown the game away really because we had, although we give away a really poor second goal of our throw on and then we kick the ball away in the middle of the pitch and it's really poor from us, but we had three or four moments where we could extend our lead. You have to go and take them. But it was a strange night all round, wasn't it? Quite an emotional evening. I thought the fans were fantastic to the players at the end. Hugely proud of the fans for given the respect to those players for their achievements over time with the club on their individual journeys. And I think for those five, they'll have a heavy heart going home this evening.
I mean, for very different reasons. We're talking about Celtic. It's not going to be memorable because they've won the league and they've done what everyone sets out to do. For Rangers, like I say, very different reasons. But again, it's like the result last night, Gordon, it's hard to sort of take much away from it that'll live long in the memory. Maybe more about the goodbyes, maybe yeah. more about the signing of Kieran Dowell.
I think it was all about that, Gordon. And plus the fact it keeps their home record intact this season. They should have seen the game out. There's no doubt of that. They should have. The defending from both teams last night was really questionable for me. But you're right, I think the Rangers fans went along there. Yes, they want to pick up 3 points, they want to beat Hearts, but I think it was to basically thank the players that left the club, the five players. Guard of Honour, never seen that before. So, as I say, it was a very emotional night, and I think Michael Beale's right. I think those five players would have left Ibrox with a heavy heart last night, knowing that that's the last time they're going to play there unless they come back with another team right now.
I mean, there was even time on Twitter for debates about whether Ryan Kent should have turned up in his Rangers tracksuit or not, Mark Wilson. So that shows you the level of interest in the sort of game itself. See, it could be a valuable point for Hearts. But particularly, you could almost, like, Morelos got the big send off. You know, particularly Arfield, because there was a debate about whether he should stay. Alan McGregor after I mean, you don't get many interviews from Alan McGregor. There was another one where he was asked on Sky, you know, what's next? And he said, I just want to go for a shower. And that probably summed up his full 500 odd appearances and media relations.
I don't think he'll be taking up punditry after he retires. But yeah, Alan McGregor, Arfield, but particularly McGregor, who's Daz said the other night, probably got in as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Rangers goalkeeper, been there over a couple of spells and just been an outstanding servant for the club. And a lot of their European runs that they went on wasn't it to do with really the top end of the pitch. It was the miracle saves that he pulled off time and time again. So it was a fitting send off for them. And it's good to see Morelos leaving the way he's been fighting with the Hearts bench throughout the game, so the Rangers fans get a wee glimpse of that.
He had to give that. I will clarify, I think only my opinion, Mark says, probably McGregor's second greatest Rangers goalkeeper for me. I think Andy Gorham just beats him with that. But what a career that McGregor's had, and he's been absolutely brilliant for Rangers. And I've got to say, I didn't know, and I think it's through the powers of this radio and myself, how well Scotty Arfield has thought of at Ibrox last night.
Oh, you're trying to take credit for that?
I think a lot of people have listened and jumped on the bandwagon with me. I really do. I think I took a bit of credit.
After, what's he been there, 5 years? And they listen to you this week?
I was emotional for him. It was absolutely brilliant.
I'm not sure I'm convinced. Anyway, 01419511025. Everyone knew it was going to be a big revamp, rebuild, call it what you want. But last night certainly hammered that home, didn't it? So what did you make of the farewells last night, Rangers fans? Kieran Dowell signing, still not had much of your reaction to that on the phones. And if you've any thoughts on the 90 minutes as well, now would be the perfect time to share them.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 0141 951 1025.
He's now with us.
Keep talking.
Are we interrupting something?
I'm trying to boot my tea.
He kind of do two things at once.
He's honestly like in a very popular radio show refusing to speak while he books
his
golf tea time. Are you serious?
What tea time you try to get? Because if anybody's a member, it has course go on and book
it
in
the
minute.
In front of him.
Yeah.
Look at him. That tank top as well.
It's
not attractive.
It's not
at
great,
all.
Is it?
No. You shouldn't be wearing that.
It is not great, I must admit.
What made you wear a tank top today?
And it's roasting.
What's that?
It's the woolen nature of it that's offensive to me. I think I just don't.
He's thumb shaking and everything, trying to hit his tea time.
It would go nice with his new diamond teeth. Remember we spoke about this
the other night.
Haksabanovic, you've become an internet sensation. Actually, it's on. Producer Chris has put the video of you talking about it on. He sort of edited it on just to see how you would look.
I had them on the other night with Nubly and Doobly.
You look the part, I must admit.
Seriously, I quite fancy them.
So, would you mind if we get back to actually talking about the football and you can forget about your golf for an hour and 10 minutes of your time?
It's not a chance. It's not putting that phone down.
A near reduction.
What is he on about? 01419511025. Let's hear more from Michael Beale. So I'll buy you another minute here, right? We're going to hear from Michael Beale talking about the size of the rebuild, obviously, given who all left Ibrox for the last time last night. But it says it's not only young players that will be coming in to replace the experience.
You're losing a lot of appearances there. Five main players that have been starters regularly for this team over a period of time. You know, whenever they've been fit, they've been really important in the journey. You go all the way back to those games like against Ufa in Europe or Legia Warsaw or Galatasaray. Big, big games that help the club build. We're at a stage where we have no choice. With the age and where some of the players are at in their career and their ambitions and the fact that we want to re-energise the squad and create some new energy. I think we need to bring some speed and athleticism into the club. We need to really improve in the final third in terms of our presence and just our general ability there and the chances that we create. So they're not easy decisions to make. Those guys are fantastic men in their own right. Certainly Alan and Scott in terms of the age and what they've given the squad. Obviously Stephen Davis has been missing since I've been back in as well, so that's a lot of experience there. I'd like to think they've handed the baton over and have helped players like Lundstrom, Goldson, Tavernier to grow, and hopefully they'll take that on. And we're not signing just youth team players this summer. There'll be a bit of grey hair in our new signings as well.
There you are, grey's in.
You could get a recall. I think he'll be keeping his eye on me, but I agree with him there that you're missing as much as the appearances and ability of Arfield and McGregor, but everyone knows the most important thing for a football team, see the dressing room, to hold everything together, have characters in there, a bit of experience on the training ground, it all helps. They will be a big miss in that. But as Michael Beale said there about, you know, he'll put that on to Tavernier now, Lundstrom's, Goldson's, to carry that on.
Everything's just balance, isn't it, Mark, when you think about it? There are so many examples. I mean, Rangers fans probably feel right now like a team of Todd Cantwell's would be fine because he's hit the ground running well. You know, he's not someone you would say was like, you know, extremely experienced and an older head. You look at obviously what Celtic have done. There were loads of guys who come in and are just very good and won things without. I mean, even Carter Vickers, who plays like he's experienced, actually isn't. Yeah. When you think about it. Granted, Joe Hart's there and Callum McGregor. So it just seems like. How fine is the balance? Because Michael Beale said many times he wants to reduce the age profile, younger, sort of hungrier players. Let's be honest, guys that you can sell on. Does it take just one or two older heads?
Well, he's got them in the group just now. You know, he mentioned a couple of them.
He's talking about new signings, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
well?
Yeah. And that did surprise me because I thought with the departing figures that he would be going for a much younger group. Tavernier and Goldson, been there, done it, the real driving forces in the dressing room. Huge experience. But you know, you don't need to add experience for experience sake. You need to add quality. So the players that are departing showed their quality over 5 years and sometimes even longer than that. Whoever Michael Beale's bringing in, doesn't matter if they're 19 or they're 29, they have to have the quality to match that or better than what's going out the door.
And Kieran Dowell announced yesterday, what do you make of him, Rangers fans? Here's the early take from the manager.
Well, I first came across Kieran when I went to Liverpool. He was across the city at Everton as a young player. I like lefties. We've missed a lefty in our midfield since we lost Joe Aribo. So I watched him come through at Everton, play for all the England age groups, played, I think, 15, 16 times, ring under 21s. He's played in the Premier League for Norwich. Norwich have had a bit of change of coaches in his time there. So he comes in as a player that knows three or four in our dressing room that he's played with. He's a player I like a lot, similar to Todd or Tom Lawrence and Scotty Arfield, in that he can play in midfield or upper line. I really like him, and I think he'll really kick on at Rangers, and he'll be a player that will be seen as a very, very good signing over time. I'm actually looking forward to working with him.
Let's bring in Andy, squeeze one more in before the news. Andy's a Celtic fan. How are you, Andy?
I'm fine, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, all good in here, certainly. Gordon Dale, you'll be pleased to know, managed to book his golf there, so everything's fine. What about your team at the moment?
I was going to ask Gordon how long he wanted me to speak for. I heard one of the callers earlier on talking about the so-called fringe players getting another game on Saturday. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever that's going to happen. I think Celtic will be fully intending and going full strength. The cup final team will play on Saturday. Just unfortunate, Maeda won't be available. I think he'll get an automatic suspension, if that's right, I'm not sure. The one I wanted to talk about, however, was that there's one position I think that might be up for grabs for the cup final. And it's Kobayashi, for me, is maybe a project, but he's had a couple of opportunities, and unfortunately, I don't think he's taken that opportunity. And if you're playing the cup final, I don't know whether or not you're able to go with that sort of risk. So there was something that occurred to me. Is there a potential for on Saturday pushing Tony Ralston in one if Alistair Johnson's fit?
No. Not too sure about that. I get that. Listen, Andy, I get that Tony Ralston's physical. He's big. He's decent on the ball. I just don't know if he'd move that much about. I really don't. I think he'll stick with Kobayashi. I get the concerns from Celtic fans about him. He's not showing up well in the last couple of games. I think he'll stick with
him. I thought Andy was working his way up to a recall for Stephen Welsh. That's where I thought it was going.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, what would that do? Well, because we already had a bit of speculation, not speculation, a bit of debate about this when Iwata was played back there, and it was just a sort of run-of-the-mill league game. And, you know, Ange Postecoglou was trying a couple of things. What would that say for Kobayashi's Celtic career, if you like, if in a cup final, a big game, that solution was preferred to him?
I'll be honest with you, I don't think the manager goes in for emotions, to be fair. I don't think he's the kind of guy who worries about what a personal feelings of a player is. I do believe that he put Iwata in that particular game, because he had a look at the games and thinking, I've got the opportunity to try something. I believe he put Iwata in because he probably wasn't sure on Kobayashi either, and looking alternatively. By the way, Stephen Welsh, if fit, I'm not sure if he's fit, would again be an opportunity. The truth of the matter is, if everybody agrees, the consensus that Kobayashi is not quite there yet, he's got to earn a place in the cup final. I would suggest, even if you're talking about Stephen Welsh, that boy's been there for 4 or 5 seasons. He probably earns that position more than Kobayashi does.
Maybe I worded it wrongly, Mark. I wasn't necessarily saying, well, he won't want to upset Kobayashi. I just mean, like, what that... Do you come back from that?
It'd be hard for the player.
But I don't even mean him. I don't mean that he'll be upset, you know, because I'm sure every player would be to get left out of a cup final. But would that not be a complete admission, if you like, that this guy isn't going to cut it? I mean, it's Celtic, they're still playing Inverness, they've still got all that other talent. Would it need to get that drastic? And then on Stephen Welsh, I mean, he's not kicked a ball for Celtic since the 8th of October.
Yeah, well, Kobayashi, if he's left out the cup final team, it's an admission from Ange Postecoglou that this guy isn't ready. Not that he's not going to cut it, I still believe he will get time. Stephen Welsh, by the way, it's not a bad shout. Stephen Welsh has played in Ange Postecoglou's sides.
Not since the 8th of October.
But he trains with the team every day, and he's an out-and-out centre-half. What I'm saying is, it's a better option, Stephen Welsh, than putting Iwata in there or moving Anthony Ralston into centre-back when you've got a centre-back there. If you are so unsure about Kobayashi, which Ange Postecoglou might be, then he's got a centre-half who's played in his side with the other players around about him. So it's not that hard a decision. I don't think whichever one the manager fancies, if he sees a bright future for this kid Kobayashi, then he will play him. He will tell him to ride it out. It's maybe going through a hard time, but you need to earn your place at Celtic, and it's big games that will allow you to do that.
I see your argument in Welsh. For me, absolutely no chance. I don't think he's played.
So you don't see the argument then? You don't have to be polite. Just come straight out and say it. I can see the debate. Going two-footed on him.
Right, I can see the debate because he's a centre-half, right? So there's absolutely no chance at Welsh.
Why has he been on the bench?
He's not got to play in the cup final. Kobayashi will play in the cup final. Has he had a ropey start to his Celtic career? Yes, he has. I think Postecoglou brought him over, believes in him, signed him. I think he'll stick by him. Now, Mark said earlier, I don't want to be disrespectful for Inverness, and I echo that, but it's not like you're playing second best team Rangers, or for instance. I think Celtic will have majority of the ball at Hampden with the players that they've got. So I think you can go with Kobayashi.
Certainly a good debate, Andy. Thank you for taking the time.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's tight this week, 2-1 to the Pundits. So all to play for at the end of the week. If you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, it is 01419511025, and the lines do close at 7, so if you fancy it, be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are in the building. I think they wish they were outside, truth be told, on a nice sunny night like this. 01419511025. If you're just joining us, we've been hearing from Ange Postecoglou looking at last night at Easter Road. Most Celtic fans, I think the first Celtic fan said he was a bit frustrated, a bit annoyed. And then the ones that have followed pointing out that it's not a big deal and they fully expect things to get back to normal very soon. Indeed, Rangers fans, we're looking at those farewells last night. What did you make of them? Kieran Dowell signed, and we've still to look at the bottom of the table. I know it's hard, but think of it as getting it all off your chest, Dundee United fans. Why not get in touch? Kelly fans, how are you feeling after last night as well? And Aberdeen sealed third, so a lot to go round. Let's do this before we move on.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hopeless on Tuesday.
I wasn't hopeless.
Yeah, absolutely hopeless.
I thought I was robbed, and a lot of people that I've met since have said that they felt I was robbed.
But Dublin? Like who?
Dublin, Dublin. A lot of people.
Who? Name one person that said that to you.
Alan.
It's completely made up a name. So you're trying to tell me convincing. When you go about your daily business, people come up to you and say, you were hard done by.
You seen it the other day.
This is true. I've mentioned it on this show before. This guy sleeps in Motherwell Asda. I'm absolutely convinced of it, right?
Yeah, and you never.
I'm not exaggerating here, because I've obviously moved away in the summer. Every single time I have to come back, if I'm going to my mum's or whatever, and I go to, he's there every time. Every single time. No matter what day, what time it's. So yesterday, I pull into the car park and it's on my mind. I'm thinking, I'm bound to see him. And then I go, do you know what? I actually can't see his car this time. Unbelievable. His car's not there. Think nothing of it. But sure enough, by the time I got to the self scanner, there he is, stealing the carrier bag as normal. And.
Like, he wasn't wearing a high-vis vest and collecting trolleys, was he, by any chance?
Always because there.
Are you working there?
Oh, I love Asda.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, I've got an Asda app that I like to get my money counted up.
Yeah, but do you know, see, why didn't you just go like once and buy like lots of things rather than going like 3-4 times per day to pick up as you go?
Because it's a little...
Is it like a day out for you?
It's a little sort of a...
I can't wait to get to 62. And go for a day out in Asda.
No, I'm not 62, 61. And you just look forward to, you know, the deals.
Oh, it sounds brilliant. Anyway,
the whoopsies. Is that what they're called in Asda? Whoopsie, the yellow stickers.
When you walk out, all right, Dazzler.
What a rock and roll lifestyle you lead. Anyway, other supermarkets are available. Jamie's in Shettleston tonight. How's it going, Jamie?
I'm good, thanks.
Have you ever played before?
Never.
Good, that's the way we like it. This guy was hopeless on Tuesday. Do you think you could take advantage of that again?
Hopefully.
Good. I like your thinking. What we'll do is toss the coin and see who it is. Mark is heads, Gordon's tails. You're off the hook. It is Mark Wilson.
Is that me? Good luck, Jamie.
In Shettleston.
Sound nervous.
Let's give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to, and we'll set the clock up for you, Jamie. 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that's fine, okay?
That's fine.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds starting now. Before Hibs, who's the only other team to score 4 against Celtic this season in any competition?
Real Madrid.
Who's got more league goals this season, Arfield or Kent?
Arfield.
Name any player who's been announced to be leaving Hearts in the summer.
Pass.
Apart from Rangers, who's the only unbeaten side since the split?
Murrow.
In what year were Dundee United last relegated from the top flight?
2021.
Which current St Johnstone player announced his retirement today?
Pass.
Let's bring Mark back. Mark, can you hear us?
Aye.
Are you alright?
No.
What?
Would you
look at the size of that helmet?
I went in a car crash. Happening here.
What is that? I think I've seen that line about the office.
Yeah.
Gordon DL appears to have put on some sort of like a disco ball helmet. Where did you find that?
That's alright. That suits me, that.
Some helmet on you, honestly. Remarkable. Shiny. Glistening in the sunlight. In Clydebank.
I'll tell you what, it's very warm under.
That's snug.
Very
it?
Warm under here, let me tell you.
That's a tight squeeze for you.
No.
I did that to my Instagram story already.
I'll get that
just to show what I'm
loose,
dealing with. Wear that in Asda.
Try and get the
next
African
time
ears in there. It's a bit tight.
Anyway, you ready to play Beat the Pundit? That was an unexpected.
Well, he's going to put us off, isn't he?
Look at the state of him, honestly. An unexpected interruption. Yeah. Are you ready?
That's quite the thought.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Before Hibs, who's the only other team to score four against Celtic in any competition this season?
Oh, Real Madrid.
Who's got more league goals this season, Arfield or Kent?
Kent.
Name any player who's been announced to be leaving Hearts in the summer.
Oh, a holiday.
Apart from Rangers. Apart from Rangers, who's the only unbeaten side since the split?
Oh, Aberdeen.
In what year were Dundee United last relegated from the top flight?
2017.
Which current St Johnstone player announced his retirement to date?
Liam Gordon.
Liam Gordon. current club captain, mid-20s if he's lucky.
Signed a new contract.
He scored last week, didn't he? I thought got in a high.
I put that on for a reason. I knew he would have a nightmare
to put him off.
And they were hard. No. They were difficult.
Jamie, you must be feeling quite good about yourself after hearing his efforts.
I don't know, I wouldn't agree either, to be fair.
I thought you were alright. Real Madrid put 5 past Celtic in November. You both got it. Scott Arfield's got 8. Ryan Kent's only got 3.
Scott Arfield. A trick question.
No, Jamie gets it. Well done to Jamie. Thanks for keeping up with the news today. Coming in to the show, Michael Smith, Gary Mackay, Stephen and Ross Stewart all leaving Hearts in the
That's
summer.
News to me.
No,
I didn't know that.
That's why we're here. 2-1 to Jamie. The only unbeaten side since the split, apart
Hearts.
From Rangers.
Oh, the well.
Motherwell.
So they are. Jamie when they've got
top
that.
Six.
Jamie got it.
Did he?
Yeah, it was at that moment I knew that you were in deep trouble. In what year were Dundee United last relegated from the Premiership? I would have been miles off this. Seriously, 2016.
Oh, a year off.
I don't know.
We're a ball off because that ball's going out this room tonight.
None of you got it, and unsurprisingly, it is not Liam Gordon. Visions of Liam Gordon listening.
Who was it?
I mean, you put him in your team of the week on Monday, Liam Gordon, and now you've retired.
I thought
him.
He was just.
Yeah, it was his last game.
Putting a high.
The Wilson team of the week.
Who is it? I mean, he's 27 and he's the club captain.
Oh, you never know. He could be carrying an
Murray
injury.
Murray Davidson.
Oh, right, okay.
A 3-1 win, Jamie. Well done.
Battered me.
Cheers.
Jamie.
With your football fan hat on, Jamie, as well. I like your company, so I'm going to take advantage of you. What were the thoughts last night? I know you're a Rangers fan, seeing the 5 farewells.
Actually, I wasn't really that bothered, I think, because a lot of the players I should have let the fans down one too many times. So for most of them, I wasn't really upset to see them leave, to be honest.
Interesting. That's fitting. I mean, even Alan McGregor, when you think of the service, though, Jamie?
That's different, because he was there the good days as well under Walter Smith and that. But players like Kent, who you big out Leon, Morelos, who turns up in Disney try half the time, and like, I know it's not his fault Hollander's been out for ages with injury, so really not that first to see players that leave.
Like that is fair enough. I saw a bit of that last night, Gordon. I still feel probably for those that when you're in the stadium and you're there and you see them, and you know Morelos comes off, you thank him for all the good things he's done. It's not necessarily, it's not really an opportunity to bring up all the bad things or the things that have disappointed you, but it doesn't have to be unanimously like, oh, that means that you're gutted to see them go, or that you don't think it's a good idea, if you know what I mean.
No, it's a bit of respect just to thank them for their services to the club. They were, you know, part of winning the league, a big part of it. They were part of the European campaign, getting to the final. Yes, there have been bad times, but there have been bad times for every single player that plays for any club. But I just think that as a supporter, you've got to look at these players and thank them for their services. It's a change now. Manager's got his own ideas. He's starting to recruit, bring in new players, and Rangers need to look forward. But I always think that it's nice for a club to respect the players that have been there for years.
Do you know much about Kieran Dowell, Jamie, or is it a case of hoping he hits the ground similar to Todd Cantwell?
I just hope that he hits the ground. I don't think I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, yeah, we won't have seen loads of them either. You get bits and pieces from the English Championship, depending how close an eye you pay on it, Gordon, and you hear sort of mixed reports. Michael Beale tends to sign players that he's been aware of for a long time. He always spotted them as a youth team player. We heard that comment earlier. Like I said, what Todd Cantwell's signing is got nothing really to do with Kieran Dowell, but you would get that, wouldn't you, if you were a Rangers fan? That would be your hope. You would think, well, Raskin and Cantwell have been pretty good so far, so hopefully that's Michael Beale's standard of signing. Mm. It's a similar, obviously it's the same market as Todd Cantwell. So that would be the hope from Rangers fans at this point, before you get to see what he can do.
Another, what I've seen of him, another attacking player, probably all left footed, nice elegant left foot, can get you a goal. So, as I say, he's looked at Cantwell coming in. I think Cantwell's been terrific since he came in. A guy that Mark and I both looked at, completely forgot about him through injury, Tom Lawrence, who made a good start to his Rangers career. So hopefully he'll be back fit soon. You've got Lundstrom in there, you get Kamara, you get Jack, you've still got Hadji. There's a question mark with Tillman. So there's certainly a rebuild going on. And it'll be interesting to see if Dowell can hit the ground running like Cantwell, because he does look a decent player, but you've got to come up to Scotland. Different type of football. It's suited Cantwell well. He's risen to the challenge. It's up to Dowell to do the same.
Last night summed it up then, Mark. If you're talking about it's goodbyes on one hand, and on the same night that you announce a new signing, just in case anyone had forgotten, it's a sign that there is this overhaul happening.
Yeah, it's a sign of progression, an instant progression, and I'm sure the Rangers fans would be delighted. I think that's
yet to be seen, maybe, you know, in terms of progression.
Are you getting a better player? But at least it's a player in. I don't think there's anything worse as a fan when you see all these guys departing and your manager's out saying, "Don't worry, we will strengthen, we will get deals over the line," and it comes into the first day of pre-season and nobody's been brought in. So it's progression in that sense. You've got to take some credit. If you play in the Premier League, you've got to take some credit that you've played at that level, so you expect a certain type of player. But I think Michael Beale's got credit in the bank with signing so far anyway, and Cantwell certainly has shown that. I think he's probably been the pick of the bunch for the signings in the league since he came in, and he shows sign of only getting better. If Dowell can match that, then Rangers will have a player in their hands.
Thank you very much to Jamie and Shettleston, winning and Beat the Pundit, giving us his thoughts on Rangers.
So
as well,
disappointed.
That's probably the worst performance of the season.
Well, you were standing with a shiny helmet on. Jamie back home, I bet you his partner or kids haven't got.
Well, I was listening.
Headwear.
Some size of helmet. That look at the size of it, and I got in my head. But I've got to say, listen to the questions. I knew he would stumble. He was lucky he got the first one.
Tricky tonight.
Yeah, I thought they were. Well done, Jamie. Is it Jamie? Well done, Jamie.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, you, for listening.
Ryan is a Kilmarnock fan, and he is coming up next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on the usual number or Twitter if you'd like to get in touch at Clyde SSB over there. And many people inquiring about your headwear that you had on earlier, Gordon. So thanks
be
for
the
fashion statement. What we do have before we bring in Ryan is a full-time teaser for you. So I'm going to set it up and then leave it to you. The question tonight sent in by Grant McIver. Thank you to Grant. So far this season, only 7 Premiership players have scored in all the domestic competitions. Can you name them? Do not shout any out just yet. Right. So I'm just going to leave this with you. So far this season, only 7 Premiership players have scored in all domestic competitions. So League, League Cup and Scottish Cup. And this is going to be wasted on you because you'll ignore me anyway. Don't just shout out every player you can think of. Try and put a bit of thought behind it. That's kind of the idea. Try and remember, try and recall. Don't just shout out every name of every player in the league.
I've got to say Tavernier for the first one.
Bad idea. Mark?
Kyogo.
Okay, that's one down and six to go. Kyogo. Okay, so we'll leave that there. Huge night for Kilmarnock. Potentially an even bigger night for Dundee United in some regards, because their fate looks closer to being sealed. A 3-0 victory. Kilmarnock on the road. You don't hear that too often. So let's bring in Ryan, who's a Kilmarnock fan first. How big was that last night, Ryan?
Absolutely huge. Good evening, Gordon.
All good. Not as good as you, I don't think, Ryan, but
not as good as me. You are absolutely right. I'm only on to heap a wee bit of praise on the players of Kilmarnock last night. We haven't had a lot to shout about all season, especially away from home, but last night was just something else. It was brilliant. I can't fault anybody on that team.
Mark, if you're going to struggle all season away from home, I think it was one away victory. It's not a bad time, place and manner to get your second.
You just wonder where that performance came from. I mean, it was a great performance. I know I'd said about Dundee United and their failings, and that still can be true, but Kilmarnock also have to then capitalise on that. I thought they were great last night. I thought, you know, Kyle Vassell led the line well, and he's come in for some criticism. I know he's been decent some games, but he's missed a lot of chances. But last night, you know, when they were presented to him, it took them at a vital time. And, you know, Ryan Wright, a lot of credit to the full side, but Derek McInnes, who had to bounce back after a poor result last week, had to take his side to Tannadice. I said the other night that I fancied Dundee United as just slight favourites in that, and he got the result when it really mattered.
Yeah, that's it. We know the split, Gordon. There are these games, you just have to, you simply have to pick your moment. It was all up in the air after the weekend and that home game against St Johnston. And what we know for sure now is that Kelly can't automatically go down. So that is one step towards success and safety. And it was very convincing, wasn't it?
Oh, very convincing, very well deserved. I like the fact that Derek lately has certainly went with the attacking players. He's went for it, he's not been negative. It's paid off for him. Second league win away from home, is that right, Gordon? What a time to do it, what a performance. Three goals, it sets him up nicely. They've still got another nervous 90 plus minutes at Rugby Park at the weekend. There should be a bumper crowd in there. I think that'll be a terrific game of football. And obviously, if Kilmarnock a point, that's all they need. Keeps them out that playoff situation up to Ross County then. But Ross County are a dangerous side. That'll be a difficult game.
Yeah, simple equation. As Gordon says, Kilmarnock against Ross County at the weekend. If Ross County win, Kelly will be in the playoffs. If not, Kelly will definitely be safe. How confident are you of finishing off the job, Ryan?
I'm anxiously optimistic. As long as Vassell puts on his football boots instead of his carpet slippers, and we get as far as VAR goes, then yeah, anxiously optimistic.
That's it, Mark. The last few days tells you just what it can be like. At the weekend, I know there was a red card at the weekend. I was there, I was at the game, but playing another one of your rivals then in St Johnston, and then to go and sort of turn it round last night. So I don't think Derek McInnes will be under any illusions. There's still a massive, you know, job to be done.
Yeah, he's got recent history just to show the players that that's a massive low you had last weekend against St Johnston, but look at the high, and when you follow it, instructions and take your chances where it gets you. But be aware that if you underperform at the weekend, then this Ross County team will punish you. So I mean, it's going to be a terrific watch. Daz is right though. Ross County, dangerous. When we think they're only going to get a result, they often pop up with a result. So Derek will know that. He'll get the message across to his players, and it'll be a terrific game.
Then, since we're at the time of season where you're watching other results as well, that late St Johnston equaliser could turn out to be crucial, because otherwise County would have been, you know, 2 points better off and level with Killy, which would have been quite something. I mean, Ryan, you still got, you know, plenty of faith in Derek McInnes that, you know, kind of no matter what happens, still fully behind the idea that he takes you forward in the future.
I think the jury's out on Derek McInnes just now. I mean, it didn't have easiest of starts playing with Tommy Wright's players, and then not really having a full crack at a whip as far as the budget's concerned. But hopefully it gets the things after the
after the break and we can start seeing Gillick in the spring each other and playing for that badge. Having said that, I do want to make a special mention about Luke Chambers. That's a young 18-year-old boy who ran the game last night, and massive credit to him for turning down a chance to play for his country so that he could try and help keep us up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the type of commitment you're looking for, I suppose, at this stage of a relegation battle. Thank you to Ryan. What about Simon, who's also on a similar theme? How good was it last night, Simon?
Hey, hi guys, hope you're all well. Hope you're feeling better than I did this morning. It was a very, very good evening. I thought we were absolutely fantastic. And I'm glad I heard Mark pull himself up about what he said on Tuesday, because I couldn't quite believe it, given how poor Dundee United are, that he thought that they would be favourites for the game. I heard people talking, Mark as well, talking about Stephen Fletcher, if he was fit, that would be crucial. Actually turned out to be crucial for Kilmarnock, because we played them 5 times this season now. Three wins, a draw, and a defeat. So, you know, we were a better team than Dundee United. And every single one of those games, Stephen Fletcher has looked unfit, uninterested, looks like he couldn't be bothered, looks like he thinks this is all beneath him. And as soon as we heard that he was in the team yesterday, and Jim Goodwin before the game basically saying they've covered him in elastoplast and put him at hope to get 45 minutes, you know, we're like, well, when he was fully fit early in the season, he did nothing. So we weren't really terrified of it. And last night he was actually an embarrassment, and that really, really helped us because you compare the two strikers that were playing last night. Well, Deutsch had a good game as well, but Kyle Vassell just runs himself into the ground. He does everything that Fletcher doesn't, and you know he's not the most technically gifted, but and also don't know where Mark got the idea that Kyle Vassell's had some sort of, you know, he's got a lot of stick. I don't know where he's got that stick, because it's certainly not from the fans who watch him every week.
Just Mark, I think he just gives him stick himself.
Wait a minute, Simon, let me respond. Was he not getting stick earlier on in the season for not being a prolific goal scorer, missed a lot of chances?
Well, that's if you'd think that all a striker needs to do is put the ball in the back of the net. What he does, it's his main job.
He works
his absolute socks off.
Oh, no doubt about that, but hold on, what's a striker's main job?
How many chances has he laid on?
What's a striker's main job, though?
If he scored more, he could be eighth.
Hold on, he says it's not his main job. A striker's main job's to score goals, and Vassell did get stick for missing chances, but I did give him credit. I think he's come on
from the halfway line last night.
Outrageous effort.
I think if Stephen Fletcher's unfit, you can probably cut him a bit of slack for last night's performance. Simon can rhyme off all the previous ones if he likes. But I must admit, when I saw those comments as well, I thought, wow, that's quite something, because I get it from the outside, and Dundee United fans probably all day yesterday were thinking, don't care how fit he is, you know, patch him up, get him on. Mm-hmm. It's easy for pundits and the likes to say that as well, and I get the logic. But when I actually heard or saw Jim Goodwin saying he's about 70%, he's not trained, hopefully we get 45 minutes out of him, you know you're at desperation stages then, don't you?
100%. It just shows you where Dundee United are at. That they're depending on the experience of Fletcher. He is a very important player for him, of course he was, but there was absolutely no way that it was a gamble. He wasn't fit, obviously. Jim was hoping to get maybe a goal out of him the first half or whatever it may be. He's a threat. He works very hard for Dundee United, very experienced, but it just didn't work. As a team, I thought Dundee United were an absolute shambles. But I give all the credit in the world. I think Kilmarnock have been very much on the front foot recently. I know they had a bad result at Rugby Park, but they were under a bit of pressure because everyone looked at, if you're Dundee United, who would you want coming in an important game? Kilmarnock, why? Not because they're a bad team, but on the road they've been terrible. But they saved that for last night for one of their best performances of the season, and it leads them into an absolute cracking game on Sunday.
You're feeling confident, clearly, Simon, but there's still work to be done. And when you think back to Saturday, how confident are you to finish off the job this weekend?
I think the last caller called it perfectly, nervously optimistic. I think going into the game, you know, we've beaten every team in the league apart from the Old Firm this season, which is a pretty good record considering the squad we've got. Like the previous person mentioned at the AGM, it was brought up by the chairman and Derek that he basically 70% of the budget was taken up by Tommy Wright signings. So to keep that up with what is a championship level squad, I always had faith because of the manager. I felt that he was the guy who was going to get us through it. On Sunday, you know, Ross County, I think we need to stop this idea that there's some sort of fairy tale. They pay a lot of money. You know, they paid a five-figure fee to get Simon Murray 6 months early. They matched Eamon Brophy's wages, who, by the way, Kilmarnock couldn't match what St Mirren offered them. So he must be on a fair chunk of wages. You know, they pay a lot of money. They pay more money than teams like Motherwell, Kilmarnock do. So, you know, it's not some fairy tale if they stay up. They pay a lot of money. They've got a decent squad. They've got a decent manager, a target man up front. So it's going to be an interesting game. But at the end of the day, if it came down to at the start of the season, we say you needed a point at home to Ross County to ensure your survival, I think everybody would bring your hand up. Because if you can't get a draw against Ross County, you don't deserve not to be in the playoffs. So I think it's a huge game, one I'm confident will go. And just before I go, Mark, when we play with two strikers, not both of them have to be goal scorers. Sometimes you need somebody who's out going to do the donkey work, and he's the one who does that, and he does it fantastically well.
Is Doidge the prolific scorer out of the two?
I think he was meant to be.
Simon, the argument of Osdon, when you've scored the least amount of goals in the league this season, then your strikers have to score goals. But hold on, I'm not having a go at Vassell. I just said he came in for some criticism. He done terrifically well. A lot of your points make sense. I don't think any of us says about Ross County being a fairy tale team either. I think we all well aware of the finances behind Ross County and the dangers that they bring.
But I don't think Simon's got an argument in their finances with Ross County. Have a look. He talks about players and can't match Brophy's wages. I'm sure Derek McInnes and the management team at Kilmarnock are on a lot more money than what Ross County are.
But the full team?
No, I'm talking about management as well. So you can't just go finances because Brophy's maybe on.
I think it's a fair point. Ross County always have to pay a bit because they need to get players up there well,
but
don't they?
But I don't think there's a massive margin of money between Ross County and Kilmarnock.
I think Simon's on about is maybe more than you'd expect.
Yeah, but where I agree with Simon I don't know the wages, Gordon, but I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Ross County's wage bill is probably a lot higher than Kilmarnock's. You know, if you take the full package in from management all the way down. So, and that works, that's what part of your budget is. But where I will agree with Simon.
You might be surprised.
No, I won't be. Where I do agree with Simon is, if you've got a last game at Rugby Park in front of a terrific crowd, there will be a big crowd in there, and you've got Ross County at home and you cannot go over a line, you don't deserve to be automatically safe.
And let's hope Kyle Vassell doesn't have a stinker and Kelly going to the playoffs.
By the way, I'll be phoning Simon.
That is for sure. Thank you very much to Simon. That's going to be an absolute cracker at the weekend, and these games at the bottom have been tough to call. That's for sure. Miovsky Magic says, own up. Who on the panel predicted Dundee United to finish third or fourth? I seem to remember. I'm looking forward to Saturday, because Saturday is the day.
No, is it?
Saturday's the day where we get digging into the archive and we look out all the predictions from pre-season. To be fair to you, I think you had Kilmarnock
down the bottom, 10th, 11th.
No, it was 11th? Definitely in one of the two spots.
11th then.
By the way, Simon back on. I think I had Kelly in the top six. So how do you like that, Simon?
You had Kelly win the league.
And do you think it is you that took United?
Yeah, 100%.
That optimism with Jack Ross and everything and AJ Altmar got to my
did
head.
Did we do the... We need to actually... The date is important. We'll need to look back. Did we ask for predictions 2 days after they beat Alkmaar? Because maybe we did.
I was excited. I jumped the gun in that.
Well, do you know what that... lead you on, I was going to say nicely. It's not nicely if you're a Dundee United fan. A season that starts by beating Alkmaar. Okay, look at the season they've gone on to have in Europe. Jack Ross, the optimism. You're on your third manager. Staring, yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's done, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, of course.
Which reminds me of the famous "is this tie over" line from that night. It's done. It's an 8-goal swing for Dundee United. It's just been a disaster, hasn't it?
It's been a shambles from day one, from top to bottom, and I think everyone will take the responsibility of that. I heard Jim talking about there were players in the dressing room last night taking a lot of responsibility. That's okay after a game. It's very easy to get in there and say we could have done better. The fans don't want to hear that. They brought in Jim to turn things round. It's not happened for Jim. And I totally, whether it was a good move for Jim or not, I can totally understand him taking the job after the disappointment of Aberdeen. He bounces right back in thinking, yeah, I'm going to show everyone. It's not happened. I think it was 3 wins out of 11. Not good enough. The players haven't been good enough. The standards of the club hasn't been good enough for me. So they deserve to be where they are. You can't argue with that. They're a big club. I know Mark holds them very fondly. He started up there with them. I'm sure that if they can just regroup, see what's going to happen if a new owner comes in or whatever it may be, and start to rebuild it, because there's great history in that club.
But that only gets you so far, Mark. They've shown before it's not easy to get out of the Championship. We know that financially it's not in a brilliant place. In fact, that would be a huge understatement, I think. And a heck of a season for Jim Goodwin as well.
Listen, Jim's my pal. I do feel for him. Daz's right. 3 wins out of 11, a couple of draws in there, you know, so not what he would have wanted. When he took over, they were, what, 4 points adrift at the bottom, and they still are that. So you would expect a better reaction. But you've got to look at the club in the whole from the start of the season. Jack Ross, some horrendous results in there, but was it the right reasons or time to get rid of him? Some would say, yeah, it was untenable after those results. Gave him very little time. But then Liam Fox takes over and is in charge for such a long period of time. He's part of the regime that got United those bad results. And you think, well, what is going on? Tony Ashgar situation, the fans outside the ground protesting. It was just one disaster after the other, and it's never been tidied up. And which direction the club goes in from now? Because Mark Ogren, he was chatting about on Saturday, that there was rumours that there might be a takeover way back in February, may have resurfaced again. United fans will be concerned about the direction the club's travelling in.
And to have a season like this, you need not everything but most things to go wrong, or a lot to go wrong. And a lot of it's kind of summed up by the personnel as well, isn't it? We mentioned Stephen Fletcher. Why you have to do that is because where are the other options? And I know he's injured anyway, as fate would have it, but you know, Tony Watt goes out on loan, and I don't really think another striker necessarily was brought in. Stephen Fletcher's been the only sort of main man up there. The goalkeeping situation, I mean, Birigiti time and time again has made mistakes. And then last night, if you roll the dice, you bring in Jack Newman for his second start. The last time he started a game, they lost 4-0 in Dingwall. I don't think he was particularly culpable last night, was he, to be fair?
No, I don't think he was last night.
In terms of just how desperate it all got.
Well, it did. I mean, every one of the managers tried different players. I think, look, I touched on optimism at the club at the start of the season. You're right, when Jack Ross came in, and then he signed Fletcher and Dylan Levitt re-signed or on a permanent basis, Jamie McGrath, everything looked rosy, and it looked like the squad that they had assembled was going to be one that could challenge the top six and I'll be fighting off relegation. And it's been anything but that. But you're right, Stephen Fletcher last night, Simon was touching on it, I said that he probably would gamble on him. I would have played a 70% Stephen Fletcher myself over what other options he had. Now, it didn't work last night, but all too little too late. Home form has been a huge problem for United. Won 6 games this season at Tannadice. That is nowhere near
Mark,
good enough.
We said time and again on this programme, Dundee United have got a really good squad, good experienced squad, guys that know the league, guys that have been over the course and distance, guys that can score you goals. They've been a shambles. They've been an absolute shambles. And I don't buy the coming out, and I know Jim was trying to talk about the club overall, talking about players sitting in a dressing room after being really relegated, everybody knows that, talking about, you know, we've let everybody down, we could have done better. That's too late for me, and it's too late for the fans. It is a big club, but they're in the Championship. That's where they belong this year, for the performances and the results. That don't lie. And as you said, Gordon, they need to think really, really, you know, wisely how they're going to go forward, because it ain't easy getting out of the Championship. Very competitive.
Okay, how are you faring in this full-time teaser? Grant McIver sent it in. So far this season, 7 Premiership players have scored in all domestic competitions, League Cup and Scottish Cup. Can you name them? You went for an obvious one to start. It was correct. It was Kyogo.
It's Van Veen, must
of
be.
Of course he is. Yeah. Of course he is.
What about Shankland at Hearts?
No, would you believe?
Miofsky.
Nope.
No.
I've got to say, Scottish Cup. Jota.
No.
Maeda then.
Yes, well done. Okay, that's 3 down, 4 to get. We will get them next.
number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. How are you doing on this teaser? Just since I'm chucking contact information at you, what about the email address fulltime@clyde1.com? That's where you send the full-time teaser, and the whole point is you come up with the questions and the pundits try and come up with the answers. It's always a bit of fun at the end of the show. And Grant McIver wants you to name 7 Premiership players who've scored in all domestic competitions this season. So Kyogo Van Veen, Maeda, you got before the break.
We've got one each.
O'Hara, Mark O'Hara.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Well,
our
done,
big pal.
Yep.
Yeah. And my player of the season, I forgot his name. Arfield, Scotty Arfield.
Your favourite player of every season?
Yeah.
Who took? Because Tom Rogic was always your favourite Celtic player.
I loved
Arfield.
Tom.
Who took over when he left?
Tom Rogic.
It has to be Alistair Johnson, because you coached him when he was a kid.
AJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because I know you like to pick one from each team that you take under your wing.
Do you know? I used to love Jamie Forrest.
Jamie Forrest. Things he's never been called.
That's a different name.
I love the way you're on.
Coat hanger.
I'll need to find a new one from Rangers. I've seen Arfield's going. AJ's my Celtic one.
Well, did you notice Jamie Forrest has been announced? He's getting a testimonial.
He deserves it. He's been a great servant.
I'll expect a call. Surely I must what be in for? There. But that helped break him through, didn't it?
He played behind him in the reserves when he was coming through.
And Neil gave me the call. Do you think he's ready to step up? And he says, aye.
Mark gave it the thumbs up to the gaffer.
What part were you thinking you're going to play in the test tomorrow?
Because he'll look to bring back all the big hitters, all the legends.
Do you think Celtic fans are going along there to pay money?
They want to see me.
Blubber guys like you running.
Watch what? What did you say?
Blubber. Here he comes.
I don't know about that.
Number 12, Mark Wilson.
No, absolutely.
You've no chance. You can't even go on the Legends bus, and there was people sitting on there with no appearances.
Trevor Sinclair did do a lot for the club. I've said this in the past.
Just to show how popular you are, right? Moira just phoned from Romania. Not even to make a point, just to say that Scott Arfield was an answer to the teaser, just as you got it.
Romania?
Yeah. From Romania.
Yeah. She's in Romania just now?
Yes. That's
listen to us. Just shows you. We reach out to people.
Two to get on the teaser, is it?
Jota.
One.
We said Jota.
No. Two to get. We can get back to it. What about Barry Robson? Let's hear from him.
When you come in and where the club was, where the team was, I think it was the most difficult week. It's been a long, long time here. And I've been watching the team in the first half of the season, obviously. It was part of the development, and I could see good things in the team. But I think where we are now is they took on board what we're trying to do. Myself and Steve don't just come in and stand and shout and go, yes, we're going to make it all better. It's a lot more than that. I've been sitting for years and years finding ways of how we want to do things and how I want to do things. And they took it on board, and they took it on board quickly, and we managed to be successful. But success is great at the minute, but we need to come back in the summer and we need to go again. And that's me. I probably should try and enjoy it more, but I know I won't, and I'll be thinking about next year already.
How would you sum up that achievement then, securing third with a game to go?
Great achievement from him, you know, first crack at being a manager. I spoke to Barry years ago when I was at Brechin, when he was a coach at Aberdeen. I said to him, look, do you fancy going out into management? He said he had offers, but he wanted to bide his time behind the scenes and learn from other managers. He's certainly done that, because it was a huge job to take on. Like Barry says, at an incredibly difficult time, and he turned it all around. You know, that opening period of his managerial career, got spot on, big wins at big times, and a lot of that hard work was done from the period that Jim left up to a couple of weeks ago. So well done to him, and he got rewarded with a contract. So shows what the Aberdeen board and Alan Burrows thinks of him.
I mean, Hearts had a sizeable lead at one point, Gordon. That will reflect negatively on them as much as it reflects positively on Aberdeen. But especially when we know what probably will end up being the case is that guaranteed group stage football. It's been a real game changer. Hearts couldn't, you know, make it two in a row, but I think talking about it's around about £6 million.
Yeah,
for that, I mean, it's
at one point they had such a lead, Hearts, and a game in hand, and Aberdeen were going through that period of losing to Darvel in the cup, getting beat at Easter Road. They were all over the place, a team that had absolutely no confidence whatsoever. Good players, as we know, but they just didn't have the confidence. Going through a bad time at that point. And Barry obviously got the opportunity when Jim departed, and he's come in, grasped it with both hands. He's just, I don't know what he's doing there. He's just got the belief back, get the confidence back, tweaked one or two things in the system, and he's been absolutely brilliant. And to finish in third place is, nobody would have predicted that a few months ago.
Yeah, we said earlier, how did Dundee United beat Alkmaar and get relegated in the same season? How do you lose to Darvel, get battered at Easter Road and finish third in the same season?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, the bad results are often pointed at the manager, and the good performances like third place, oh, it's a new manager. But it's the same group of players that take you through that journey. It's sometimes hard to understand for the fan who pays their season ticket money to think, this is the same group of players that I travelled all the way down the road to see being beaten by Darvel. So sometimes players have to take a long, hard look in the mirror when things aren't going right, but obviously take the plaudits when they've got the courage and the ability to turn their season round. Those Aberdeen players have certainly done that, led by Duke, who's been their top man this season, who Aberdeen might have a job keeping hold of.
Yeah, I think there will be people looking at some of the squad up there. They're good, decent players. Majoski up front obviously caught the headlines.
Took
as well.
Took a sore one last night.
Terrible. Oh, really.
Any complaints about that red card?
Absolutely not none. It looked very painful.
Apparently not as bad as
that's good
feared.
News.
And it's really to be better good news. Yeah.
I think if Barry can hold on to his key players and add a little bit, because I think he's done well in the transfer market. Do you know the one decision I always go back to in a light? The minute he took over, for some reason, he just got his captain, Stewart, got him out of the club, put him back down the road and built from there. Strong decision making for me.
Maybe one St Mirren fans can call us up about tomorrow. Is it automatically go down as a successful season? Will it take, you know, when you look back in the summer and think, well, top six for the first time ever. Big picture. You look at it right now, though, you expect that five of those places get European football. There'd be no real progress made post-split. And I know you're playing the top teams and there's different circumstances, and you know, going to Celtic Park was a great result in itself. But just once you get that close,
of course,
you want to try and take the next step, don't you?
Of course. And they were so close. They were in touching distance. You know, they even had fourth in their sights not so long ago. But I don't think you can get greedy when you're Stephen Robinson and what's went on behind the scenes financially as well to get that team into the top six. I think would mean everything to the club, and it gives them a foundation to build on next year. Attracting players, as simple as that. You go to them, you can afford to pay a wee bit more money, but you've also got the prestige of saying we are now a top six club and we want to stay in the top six and progress even further.
He's waiting on the phone call. Wee Jamesy surely calls, his good old pal from the old days who taught him to cross balls. But there is no room for Wilson, or is he just a dud? So Jamesy quickly drops him and drafts in Willow Flood, says Curious Creature from the
water. He's sharp, isn't he?
That was fast. That was really fast. That's the quickest yet.
By the way, he's right about wee Willow Flood.
Let's finish on that teaser if we can. We were looking for the seven players who've scored in all the domestic competitions from the top flight this season. Kyogo, which is a kind of obvious one, Van Veen, Maeda, O'Hara and Arfield. So maybe a couple of more tricky ones in there. There's another big team, top team player, if you like, that you've still to get. And then
Hatate.
Yes, very well done.
Brilliant.
And this one's proper left field. I don't really know.
He plays left field.
Does he?
No.
Does he play with a club in the bottom six?
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
he does.
Okay, I'll say White.
Stephen Fletcher.
No.
Jordan White.
Right, it's just
McGrath.
It is Dundee United. Are you just going to name the full squad?
No, I'll go for Dylan Levitt.
How's this for a clue?
Middleton.
There we go. I was going to say,
well done. You could add, he does play left field, or he used to.
You could add Europe to that equation as well for him.
Ah,
there we
really
go.
Did.
Glenn Middleton. Well done. Thank you, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL. Enjoyed that. So much to look back on from last night. And tomorrow we then get to look forward not only to the conclusion of the Scottish Premiership, but what about those playoffs tomorrow night? Air United, Partick Thistle. Thistle fans, I'd imagine you're feeling pretty confident about finishing the job, but we look forward to it nevertheless. I'll be interested to hear what Hugh Keevans makes of the week's talking points as well. So make sure you join us. Thanks for listening, and Amber is up next.